Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's good, everybody? We hope you guys are having a great day so far. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. And for those of you guys who are new here, we are your hosts, Sway and Liz. And on this podcast, we talk about true crime, ghost stories, and basically anything scary that you can think about. We're going to talk about it. So if that interests you, make sure to add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday for a new episode.
Yes, guys, and we also review the latest scary movies. And if you have any stories you'd like us to talk about, please feel free to send in your requests on any of our social media pages at Scaredy Cats, and that's Scaredy Cats with the K.
Before we get into the story, I do want to talk about our latest YouTube video, and it was something that we haven't done like ever on the channel, but you guys have loved the scary content we've been putting out on TikTok, Instagram, and now YouTube. So we decided to do, you know, like, well, you came up with the idea. You're like, what if we actually do a video where we go and do these things, like go and explore this stuff? And so we actually found out like the history of this bridge that I drive through every day. And it was some pretty dark, scary history. It like dates back to the 20th century about this dude who like basically kidnapped kids. I think it was 7 in total. And he like took them down underneath this like cave. And then he basically like murdered them. And then he carved their faces into stones and stuff. Yeah. And supposedly you can still find them. But it was like in the 20th century. So obviously it's going to be hard to know where it's at, because stuff has grown over it and all that. But when we were down there, we got like chills. Yeah. It was just bad vibes overall, and it was during the day. We were planning on doing this like later in the evening.
Yeah, guys, so it was a pretty crazy, like, you know, video that we did. So if you're interested in seeing that, you can go ahead and look us up at Sway and Liz on YouTube, and then you can find the video, because it's one of our most recent. Definitely check that out. But before, you know, we go into everything else, I do want to mention there's this show called Dolores Roach that barely came out, I believe, on Amazon Prime, and I freaking binged it. You haven't watched it yet. But I was telling him it was the most insane show, with so many twists and turns, and it made you feel like kind of like queasy at some parts. Uh-huh. But without giving a bunch of details about it, it's this lady who went on this killing spree. And I'll just say this, because I think it's in like the trailer, but the people that she had killed, they cook them into empanadas. So it's this whole insane like series of events that happened in this show. And honestly, I would have to rate it a 10 out of 10 for it being on Amazon Prime. Like, I was perplexed. Like, a lot of these streaming services, guys, are coming out with a lot of good series so far. Mm-hmm. And this one has to be one of the best that I've seen yet, you know. So definitely check it out. It's Dolores Roach, and you need to watch it soon, because I keep telling him. And what's crazy too is that a lot of it made me feel sick, but there were certain scenes where they were like eating empanadas, and I was like, dang, when we go to New York, I kind of want to find an empanada place. And I know that sounds so weird, but like, I don't know, just empanadas sounded bomb.
Nothing against the show, but I'm like the type a person that if it doesn't come out on Hulu or Netflix, like I won't go out of my way to go watch it.
Do you feel
it.
Like lazy to go
like I just feel like lazy to like go and log into another streaming service, or just creating the account and going to watch it? But I'm just like, I hardly sit down and watch shows, because I'm always editing or like doing stuff for our social media. But when a good show comes out, I'll sit down and watch it. But half the time, it's either on Hulu or Netflix. But if it's on any other one, I'm just like, maybe later on I'll watch it. But then I just never come back and watch it.
I feel like, though, you only watch it when you're at my house. Because I kid you guys not, like, my family, even my sister, I swear, they have like all the streaming services. They even got Apple TV, because like they love shows, they love movies. So like, we're always watching something new. So like, I get what you mean.
The only time I watch shows is when I come over to your house, because you guys are either always watching a movie or watching shows, and that's the only time I'll catch up on like new shows. Aside from that, when I'm at my house, I'm either writing a script for a podcast episode. I'm either editing like 20 TikToks, editing a YouTube video, editing a podcast. I literally, when I go home, I don't have a life, guys. Like, I'm just on my computer 24/7 listening to music and just like working.
Okay, well, this show definitely is one to watch if you guys feel the same. Yeah, if you guys feel the same way the way he does, definitely go out of your way to go watch on Amazon Prime, because it's pretty great overall. Like I said, 10 out of 10, guys. But let's just go into today's story. It's quite a creepy one, and honestly, I have never, like, ever heard of these girls. But when I did, it honestly gave me the chills.
Yeah, I've never heard of these girls either, like you said.
Right.
Until you were telling me about it earlier today, and I'm like, dang.
It's
like, I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't even see videos or like TikToks, because that's how I usually find out about true cases crime, like this, or cases like this, through TikTok. Never have I came across anything about these girls.
So the twins went by the names of June and Jennifer Gibbons. Their parents were Caribbean immigrants who had moved from Barbados to the United Kingdom. Their mother, Gloria, was a housewife, and their father, Aubrey Gibbons, was a technician for the Royal Air Force, which is a pretty freaking cool job.
That is cool.
I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. But the couple went on and had a few children before the twins were born. There was Greta, who was the oldest of the Gibbons children, then David, and then it was the twins, and lastly, their youngest sister, Rosie. The twins were born on April 11th, 1963, at a military hospital in Aden, Yemen.
They then moved from England, and by 1974, the family had relocated to Haverford West, Wales, where the twins attended school. June and Jennifer were said to be inseparable, but the most interesting part about their sisterhood was how they spoke amongst each other. It was very hard for others to understand them, and even their mom had to guess what they were saying. Their family thought that they would grow out of this, but as crazy as it sounds, they remained this way throughout their whole childhood and even throughout their teenage years. The only person they ever spoke to out of their family was their youngest sister, Rosie. Rosie explained that they stopped talking to her when they were 11, and this was when Rosie and the twins no longer shared rooms. After this, the only people they spoke to was themselves, which is pretty interesting.
It is, right? Not trying to be like mean about this or anything, but I could never imagine not talking to my siblings, or like not talking to my parents. That would just be weird, right?
Yeah.
One of the reasons they refused to speak to others was because they often felt like a burden to those around them. And since they were the only black students in their school, this made them the main target for bullies, and they would constantly pick on them, making fun of how they wouldn't talk and called them weird for not speaking much, and even saying racial slurs to them. This obviously was very traumatic for the girls, so they stayed mute at school, and their language they spoke to each other became even more difficult to understand, that it became their very own language. They suffered a lot of hardships at school, so the parents as well as the teachers grew worried, and they hired a speech therapist hoping they could understand their case. However, not even the therapist could get through to them, but she did say one thing, and guys, this is kind of what creeped me out, but she says she felt like June had been possessed by Jennifer into not speaking.
That is kind of creepy for her to say that. But continuing on, the school that they were attending was at Eastgate, and while their teacher was preparing for their arrival from their previous school, they told her that the girls were dumb. This was not the case. The teacher said that they were both smart, and the language they spoke was English and Barbadian Creole. She recorded their progress behind a one-way mirror, and sometimes she played the tapes back, slowing it down, and this is how you could understand what they were saying, especially with their speech impediment along with their accent. It sounded like gibberish to most.
And what was interesting to me is, like, in the recordings that the teacher captured, you can see that the twins moved very slow, ate slowly, and kind of had no emotion. And they even began writing in their diaries that were gifted to them by their parents. This was their only form of communication when they grew very passionate about writing. In their diaries, they believed that maybe they just might be better apart, and if they were apart, they would eat normally, talk normally, and even walk normally. So the teachers and their parents went ahead and asked them who would like to move and who would like to stay, and they assumed that the girls would have been happy with this given the fact that they literally wrote it down. But instead, they began to argue and get angry with one another, which turned into this huge misunderstanding, and like the girls were just like fighting like crazy, and like the teachers had said, like, they had never heard them talk, but in this moment they were shouting at each other, and everybody was just kind of like in awe, like, oh crap, like they're talking, you know. So it was pretty crazy.
Keep in mind that the girls despised each other, and at times Jennifer even said once she felt like her actual twin was somewhere out there, one that looked exactly like her, that never disagreed with her. So them being together was just as hard as them being apart. And once they were separated, their parents and teachers hoped this would help them create, you know, their own identity and help them grow as their own person. But then this is when things started to turn upside down. June became very catatonic and would sit down crying uncontrollably, refusing to speak. She wouldn't even use the bathroom. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't dress herself. They were all out of options, and it became obvious that they could not be apart. So once again, they brought them back together, hoping that one day they'll speak.
Being the teacher, you know, from their perspective, knowing that, like, you're trying to help these students, but you can't. Yeah. I feel like that would be really heartbreaking. And I'd feel like I just wouldn't know what to do. And like they said, they're all out of options because, like, the girls wrote down they wanted to be a part, you know, to grow. Then once they were, it was just, like, completely just, like, nothing that should have been done. And like I know the teacher, and I can't quite remember her name at the moment, but she even said that like obviously, like, they can't be without each other. She's like, but they can't be with each other. So like, yeah, what do they do in this situation? Like, yeah, what do you think odd. You would have done as a teacher?
Honestly, I don't know. That would be like a confusing and tough situation to be in.
Yeah,
because like you said, they can't be together, but then they can't be apart. So like, what would you do in that case?
Exactly,
you
know? I feel like at that point it'd just be up to the twins to figure it out.
Yeah,
because like even their own parents, like, they weren't talking to them much, you know. The teachers couldn't help, so it's like, if everybody else can't help, the only people who can is themselves.
Yeah, that's true. But when the twins were united again, they left school at the age of 16 and once again went back to their rooms, living in their own worlds. They continuously wrote novels, and most of their books and writings were expressions of their emotions.
And even one of the stories that was written by June was called The Pepsi Cola Addict. It got published, and I believe there's only like 10 of those books that still exist till this day. And I looked up like what the book was about, and it's basically like about this guy. If I remember, it's like he fell in love with this girl, but he has to give up his addiction to Pepsi Cola or something like that. I don't know, it was kind of crazy, but like I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I think I'll like look into it because I wanted to know like if there's anything I can find that was similar to what she was feeling, or like what the book, you know, was
trying to like give a message or
right,
something.
Right, yeah. But for a split second, everything was okay until later on their writings became very dark. Most of their stories involved young people who were attractive, committing terrible crimes.
By the time they hit the age of 18, this is when they began to experience the real world again, and later fell in love with two American boys. These boys later introduced them to drugs, alcohol, and arson. However, one of the brothers lost interest in them, where the other brother continued to involve himself with the girls. The girls later ended up losing their virginity to the same brother, which caused major instability between the two.
The girls were filled with so much anger from their past and with each other that they even tried to kill each other a few times by drowning the other in the river and strangling the other with a cord. Things got super crazy that at one point they went on an arsenic spree, catching a tractor store on fire and a series of petty crimes. June said that this made her feel good and she had craved to do this. Unfortunately, their crimes came with consequences that led them to a spot in a high security mental hospital in 1992, where they spent a total of 11 years. They were the youngest people in the entire hospital, and it was also the only institution that would take them in.
They were then diagnosed in Broadmoor Hospital for being schizophrenic, and the media portrayed them as mentally ill outcasts. The girls were given antipsychotic medication and were routinely tranquilized. They slowly began to speak, but not enough to be released.
So, like, these girls, like, I think that she said, like, you know, the way she burned it down, like, it was just something, it was just, like, built up anger from, like, their past and all this crap, and, like, they were just angry, you know?
Yeah.
Angry because they were misunderstood. And before we continue on, I do want to mention this. I think it was June or Jennifer, one or the other, said that, like, they were so tired of having to repeat themselves because people couldn't understand them that they said that, if you can't hear us, then we're not going to speak, you know?
Dang.
So, like, I felt like they were just so, like, angry and, like, annoyed at everything that it all just kind of piled up into this, like, huge thing,
yeah.
Right? So then they were put there in that mental hospital, and the reason it was the mental hospital instead of prison, because I think one of the psychiatrists said that if they were to go to prison, they would come out a lot worse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they were put into this institution. And I don't know if they necessarily deserve to be there. In a way, I kind of feel bad for them.
I feel bad for them, but I feel like they did need some sort of help.
Yeah.
I feel like mental institutions make people go even more crazy.
Right? Because, like,
I mean,
they're given all these medications,
yeah,
and stuff. But then in their experience, I mean, they were tranquilized routinely. That,
yeah,
like, I think that in an interview, June had said that, like, they begin to speak more and stuff.
Yeah. But just think about, like, all those chemicals and drugs just, like, affecting you, like, over the years.
Yeah.
You know, being tranquilized, like, routinely, and then just giving all this medication. At the end of the day, that stuff has an effect on your body and your brain.
That is very,
yeah,
true. I do know, too, guys, that I think that while they were in there, obviously they were put, like, they had thought, like, this will be the first time in their lives that they'll be able to relax, you know,
yeah,
in a place where people can help them.
Mm-hmm.
Once they got in, they realized that they were just put in there with a bunch of, like, serial killers, people,
yeah,
who were crazy and stuff like that. But either way, they still try to continue kind of, like, living their life in there. That they had a few boyfriends, I think, that were, like, serial killers or something like,
uh-huh,
that, or, like, some crazy dudes. And they were were kind of like living it up in there a little bit.
I mean, if they were enjoying it, they were enjoying it. But I do feel bad for them, and yeah. I feel like they, you know, deserve the help, but not like the kind that they were giving them. I just feel like I said, I feel like mental institutions, they're kind of harsh in a sense with medication and all these stuff that they do. That obviously they have to, but it's just like I said, it takes either, toll on the yeah, brain and stuff.
Because it either helps you or it makes you crazy. Yeah, I guess.
And most of the people that come out of mental institutions, they come out crazier than they went in.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Like not throwing like shade at any mental institution, but I just feel like that's how people typically come out. They come out more messed up or just, you know, really like medicated.
Yeah, you either get it.
To, like, rely on medication.
Yeah, they either get it one way or another.
Yeah.
But there was this lady who played a major role in the girls' lives who went by the name of Marjorie Wallace. She would visit them regularly and stated that June wanted to speak freely but was overshadowed by Jennifer's presence. With Marjorie's help, she ended up getting the girls to communicate enough that before their 30th birthday, they were able to transfer to a medium security clinic.
Marjorie said that the girls were excited, but in the middle of their conversation, Jennifer told her that she's going to have to die, and they would both decide that Jennifer would be the one to die. Their pact was made because one of them would have to give up their life to set the other one free. It was also overheard from the staff that they had been violently debating and choosing who had to die,
which is like pretty dark, guys. And like I think like the another thing that I take from this story and like, you know, their experiences is that them being twins, like, you know, their sisterhood and stuff, it was just too much to be together. So yeah. I felt like they felt the same way, like, if we get out of this alive, or, you know, if we get out of this together, like, we're still gonna be toxic with each other, mm-hmm. or we're still gonna give each other, you know, the same issues that we had coming in. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think maybe that's what their mindsets were, I guess, in that form. But on the bus to the new facility, Jennifer had been feeling ill that day. As they rode out of Broadmoor, she said, "At last, we're out of Broadmoor." She then slipped into a coma and was later pronounced dead that evening due to acute myocarditis. On March 9th, 1993, which is basically the inflammation of the heart, June was released that following year on parole, and later June finally found the strength to find her own voice after grieving her sister. She explained that they promised if either one of them died, the one who was alive had to live for the other. And in an interview with June, she said, "She might not be here anymore, but I was born a twin and I'll die a twin. That's the way it goes." Which is, man, it breaks my heart. I'm just like, wow. Like, I don't know. I feel like their story, like, in a lot of YouTube, like, little videos I had seen of them were kind of portraying them as, like, these evil girls. You know, they were demonic, they were possessed, blah, blah, blah. But I felt like once I found, like, the actual interview of June, I was able to understand, you know, all the stuff they had gone through and what they did and why they did it, you know? So I feel like what was important in this story is to tell their side of the story rather than what the media portrayed of them, you know, while yeah. they were in there, and what other people thought of them. Because, like, I don't know, it's just kind of like their situation was sad and it was heartbreaking, and it was, and there were certain parts that were creepy, but like I think that in all reality, like, they were just tired of, like, all the stuff they were going through and people not understanding them, that it took a mental toll on them, and, you know, one thing after another. And I think that's what I take from the story, you know.
And I feel like the media does this to this day. They take advantage of people when they stay silent.
Yeah.
And, you know, these two girls choosing to be silent, the media just basically went crazy. They just went with whatever story people came up with and ran whatever, you know, the conspiracy theory on the news and just all over the media. And they never got that side of the girls until later on when they were older, and sadly when one was already passed away. They just basically created them into these monsters, and they really weren't that way. They just, yeah, they were, you know, mentally disturbed and some parts, but I feel like that the media just like spiraled all crazily taking advantage of their silence.
And they took advantage of their vulnerability. So I think in general, like, these poor girls, like, had a rough life, you know, and like, sadly, things went the way it did. But I think that what made me a little bit more content, I guess not content, I guess, like, I felt a little bit better after finding out that June Gibbons is actually now 60 years old. And she's still alive. And, well, yeah, it's crazy, huh? And she's living happily in the United Kingdom near her family. And I think in an old interview, which is an interview I had watched, she asked for people not to remember them by the name Silent Twins, but just by the two girls who were twins. Which is pretty, you know, like, I'm sure she tried, and like this story, guys, was huge, like in the 90s, obviously, but I'm sure that like she just wants to forget that part of her, you know, yeah. but remember her as just having her sister, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, but overall, like, I think this story was insane. I had never heard of it. So definitely let us know what you guys thought about it by leaving us a review on this episode. And find us on any of our social media pages at Security Cats Podcast. And that's Security Cats with the K. And definitely check out the YouTube video, guys. Like we mentioned, it's a pretty good one. It's pretty creepy. It's a really fun one. And we're hoping that we can do more like that soon.
Everything is linked in the description of this episode. So if you literally click where it says, you know, more info or read more, we have all of our links to TikTok, Instagram. We're now on Threads, and thank you guys for 200 plus followers on Threads, which is super crazy. Honestly, I've never been into Twitter, but I'm into Threads. I like the way it's starting off so far. So if you guys haven't followed us on there, go check us out. Like I said, all of our links are down below, and go check out our YouTube channel. If we get 100 likes, we said we will come back to that same location in the evening with more people and explore further than we did before. So go smash that like button and don't forget to leave a comment on the video. But without further ado, we are out.
Peace.
Peace.